Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Everybody, you are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and what a great bright green spotlight we are going to put on the Southwest for this next 30 minutes. I'm Gina Murphy Darling, and I thank you for listening and for being a part of Mrs. Green's world. Well, this show is a big hashtag OMG for me personally. What can I say? Joining me in studio for the next 30 minutes are two pretty amazing individuals who are outstanding members of the Chapman Tucson Community Green Team. And the reason I'm so excited is that we are finally doing a podcast that will be a platform to spread the word about what this impressive team has done for the planet, for our community, and for nonprofit organizations in Tucson and now in other places in the world. As most of our listeners know, Chapman Tucson has been a proud partner of Mrs. Green's World since our inception. That's over 10 years. And what this team has accomplished, especially in the past 6 or 7 years, is a model of corporate stewardship that has been recognized by Honda America, by local media, and by the mayor of Tucson, among others. Lisa and James, thanks for being here. So it's Lisa Tantlinger and James Castitter, but we're not going to have a spelling bee. So it's just make sure you know that. And so glad you're here. You know I'm really excited. And you know this is something that's brought a lot of joy and growth to my life personally. So thank you, you two.
Thanks for having us.
We have so much to cover. It's like, because we do so much, it feels like a green team meeting. So Lisa, let's start with you since you're the chair of the Community Green Team, volunteer, not. And since you chair this group of wild and crazy people representing all 7 dealerships of Chapman and Tucson, what made you want to not only become a member, but really take the lead? And I'm making a joke. We don't want to have too many inside jokes on this show, but was this a voluntary commitment for you, or did you just kind of fall into it?
At first, I was actually voluntold, as we like to say, to joining the team. But then I got into it, and it's become kind of a passion for me, not just for what we're doing for the community locally, but what we're doing throughout the world. We're, you know, attempting to change people's attitudes, starting with the grassroots of our community of coworkers, which we spend more time together, you know, with them than we do with most of our families.
It's such a good point. I mean, it is. And it's about having impact. It's not just contained to the members, the 20 or so members on that team. So, James, what about you? I think you actually did volunteer. I don't think you were voluntold. I'm going to put that up there to become a member. And you have taken numerous leadership roles over time. What interested you, and has it lived up to your expectations?
It absolutely has. I had actually heard about the Green Team before I even started with Chapman, because I was friends with somebody that was employed there at Chapman and was part of the Green Team. So when I came on as an employee, I already kind of had the Green Team in mind. So I attended the first meeting and found that it was something that really hit close to home for me. You know, it's something that is important that people open their eyes a little bit and be more aware of, you know, everyday choices that you make and things that you do in the world that have a bigger impact than what we realize. And so it was something that I actually got very excited about pretty early on. And so that's what prompted me to really become a solid member and try to take some leadership roles and try and recruit more people and just, you know, see where we could go with it.
And one of the things that I think has been interesting is to see the evolution of it, because it really did start out as a green team, and then it became more about a sustainable community and then helping Tucson to become a sustainable community, and it keeps expanding. So, Lisa, what were some of the things, like in the beginning, that you really focused on in terms of the greening of Chapman? I mean, there was a real message there.
Yeah, it came down to just the basics of here in Tucson, we're hot. We need water. We had plastic water bottles. So it came to the point where we just decided we're done with them. We're not going to use plastic bottles. So Chapman purchased logoed water bottles for each dealership and handed them out to all of the employees. They've also purchased at the Honda building, they have the, you know, refill where you can see
lots
how many
of water
bottles.
Stations, right.
Exactly.
Oh, yes,
and they
yes,
have
yes.
them, they have them everywhere now, and the shops all have their own. It's the bottled water, but it's the, you know, sparklets or whatever that they use. And you just see the changes that the employees, especially with the water bottles, you know, they give each other a hard time. Hey, you know, what are you doing with that plastic bottle, you know?
Yes. Don't the culture you know? Has definitely it's, changed.
The culture has changed so dramatically. We also did the recycle of the paper. At one point at our body shop, our collision center, she was saving the paper she used for 1 month and, you know, turning it over and using both sides before we just threw it away. And we don't throw it away. We have a company that comes out and shreds it and recycles it from then. But the picture, I mean, the amount of money in general that we've saved just on not wasting paper. You know,
it's a good point, like redoing paper processes. So it does say, I like it. It saves the company money to not buy water bottles every month. Mm-hmm. It helps with the planet. And then in turn, the cutting down in paper processes, it can really impact your bottom line, especially when you have at times 6 or 7 dealerships.
Absolutely.
And then you talk about the body shop. I mean, it has permeated the culture and you see people. I mean, I just want to share, you and I did a little walkthrough about a month ago and I was the secretary. I had the clipboard and Lisa was inspector general. But in all those dealerships, I think we found like 2, maybe 3 water bottles. There were recycling bins under everybody's desks. I mean, it's really taken hold to the point where now it's part of the corporate culture. Would
Absolutely.
You say that's a fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I forgot about all of the water stations because you want to make it convenient for customers as well as for your you know, the people that work there. And, you know, some of the other shifts, like supporting locally owned businesses, that's a huge impact on our community.
Yeah,
that
really
is something
is.
That it's a big thing that Chapman really does. They thrive on that. You know, we're a local company, and so why wouldn't we want to keep those local dollars here in Tucson? You know what I mean? If we're ordering our office supplies from out of state, or if we're ordering really any of our supplies, any of our printed documents, our business cards, all of those things, we have found local companies to fulfill all of those needs. You know, I mean, the biggest one for me was like our office supply company. We were using another company that was here in Arizona, but we decided to go with somebody that was local to Tucson as opposed to just Arizona, because that matters, you know. And to a lot of people listening, that may not seem like a really big deal, but for every dollar spent locally that can stay local makes a big impact all around on your community.
And that decision was made from the top. I mean, Mr. Chapman made that decision of mm-hmm. we're going to use a local office supply company. And made sure that that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's grassroots, so it's bottom up and top down.
Absolutely.
That's what I like. It's not a mandate from Ted Chapman, but there are things where he makes those decisions on purchasing. And the biggest impact, let's face it, you guys, you feed a lot of people every week. it's a very yeah. generous company, mm-hmm. and you buy food for all of the sales force
on Saturdays.
And service. There's been a major shift. And I will tell you, it matters for local restaurants big time when you have a big concern. Like Chapman's a big employer here in Tucson.
Yeah.
So that makes a really big difference and can help keep restaurants in business. So I'm barely kidding. So somewhere, and I just have to ask this question, and Neb, this one's for you if you listen to this. Do you still dump oil in the wash? He always makes a joke about that just to get me, and he does. And for everybody's own information, they do not do that. Okay.
Yeah, that's a total joke.
But I had to have the joke there. He says, oh, yeah, other than we're still dumping that oil in the wash. I don't think you ever did, but it certainly gets me. So the morphing of this partnership with Mrs. Green's World and Chapman, it then began to permeate the community in a really big way. So that's when it was renamed the Community Green Team.
Correct.
You have a lasting impact on this community and continue to do so. So why don't you talk about some of the projects that we've been involved in over time that have been fun and important and impactful?
I think one of the biggest ones was the Habitat for Humanity build. Habitat does a special day for us because, of course, we're a car dealership. We're open 5 days a week or 6 days a week. So they do a special build day for us on a Sunday. And it's usually a 6 in the morning-ish to about 1, 2 shifts. And it's just employees volunteering. We actually had customers volunteer 1 year.
And the turnout is always overwhelming.
It's two shifts. It got so big. Yes.
And it's usually 40 to 50 people on each shift. And even, you know, a couple of years ago, we had that big rain the morning of, and we thought, oh, great, this is going to be. But you know what? Everybody showed up. We still had about 75 people show up. It was cold, but it was a blast.
I hid in my car a little bit and put the heat on.
Yeah.
I think we all had a moment or two where we were just frozen through that we had to go thaw out for a moment. But it was still worth it in the long run.
But you did it, and it's continued.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And Chapman makes a cash donation to help support them. But there's skin in the game. And sure. I love it that it's a family day.
Yes.
You know, families come out, spouses come out, mothers and kids come out.
You know. Well, and we've done it 3 years in a row now, and I feel like every year it's grown.
I know that the word has gotten out. Because we don't have any shortage
of funds. The word of mouth has gotten out, and people are asking, okay, so when's the next one?
Right.
You know, how come I didn't know about that one, and when's the next one? You know, there's people that learn, you know, the drywall, how to drywall. And they're like, you know what? I can use this now. And it's that simple of, hey, you know, I want to learn something new. And, you know, we had a great time. We painted each other with, you know, a little bit.
Paint, that was not caught on video. But yeah. we did do things like some of the people brought their own tool belts. I mean, it's really engaged. Like, it's not just to sit around and eat donuts.
Well, and I think that's what people forget. You don't have to necessarily have a construction skill set to do a Habitat for Humanity build day. You know, I mean, it's something that they have staff there that will teach you how to do whatever the project is that we're working on.
And they
know what they're doing. And safety is one of their big things, you know, so you're not going to get hurt while you're on the job site. You know, they're not going to let anything go sideways. They're very professional about it. And like Lisa was saying, you know, it's a great opportunity to learn something new, you know, that by the end of that day, you've gained a new skill and you've done something great for the community the whole time, you know, that you were learning.
And go ahead.
Every year that we do it, we get a plaque, and it's a picture of the family that got the house that we finished or whatever.
Yes.
I have that actually up in my office. So I look up at the wall and I think, hey, I helped that family get that home.
Made a real difference.
I mean, they
for
did a lot.
Family.
Don't yes. get me wrong. They definitely put blood, sweat, and tear into it. But, you know, it was just a very overwhelming feeling.
And we carefully pick the organizations as a group. It's mm-hmm. and say, what tie does it have to, let's say, climate change or the social justice aspect of climate, a socially just world? And Habitat for Humanity wants to get people out of poverty, and they do. So that fit into our kind of value statement about what we do. And then another one, Lisa, speaking of people that ask, that young kid, everybody young, under 40 for me, young, came up to me, and he was like under 30, so he was a boy, but he came up and wanted to know when we were going to do the next drive for Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. There's the messaging, so tell us about that one.
Every year, usually around school, when school starts, we'll do a drive at our locations. Each location has a bin, and anybody can come in and donate whatever they want to donate. I think last year we did it over 600 pounds of items. You know, people are asking me, so when the bin's going to be here? You know, so
it's another thing the staff really kind of looks forward to.
I got stuff. I've got stuff. Come on. When are we going to do it? Well, you know, you could take it. No, I want to bring it in to work.
It's become systemic with the culture. Mm-hmm. It's not just the green team beating up on everybody saying, you better do this. And did you bring your stuff in? It happens.
Right.
And you did. And Goodwill appreciates it so much. It's a back to school drive. And they were thrilled with it. It was like something like 660 pounds. Another one of where the fashion industry is filthy and Goodwill Industry hires people, gives them jobs, makes taxpayers out of them. So again, in terms of our value statement, this fit in with it and everybody was on board.
Absolutely.
And not only do we collect the clothes or whatever they use, we've also, you know, we get newspapers for our customers every day, 7 days a week. And we started collecting the newspapers at the Volkswagen location. And once or twice a month, we take in stacks of newspapers to Goodwill, because people don't realize, you know, when you buy that fragile item there at the store, they don't really have, they have to buy the papers to wrap it in. So we just thought, well, instead of just throwing it away, we'll just start taking them over to Goodwill. So that's what we've done.
Well, I right. think we instead have to recycle, add that reuse. To agenda. No one told Mrs. Green that newsflash. Yeah. I love that. No,
and it was
really
just
good.
one of the Green Team members, you know, Rose, decided that she goes there all the time and they didn't have something to wrap a fragile item in. She's like,
We can fix this.
I think we can fix this. So she doesn't even, all she does is pull her truck in. They come running out and grab all the newspapers out.
It just speaks volumes about how easy it is. You're right. It's just, it isn't especially convenient, but it is easy and it does make a difference. I did not know that.
And it's those something little bitty as simple. Steps. Yeah. You don't think about that.
Right. Baby steps.
Well, yeah. And it's not a change that you can make overnight. You know, you have to become conscious of the things you're doing first.
We have to keep showing up.
And, yeah, exactly.
Keep showing up.
Exactly.
And then Project Rise, I actually put that on there because we did an e-waste recycling, and I put it on the agenda for next week. We might want to do that again because the Green Team, the Community Green Team, has made such more of an impact. We might get more people to do that because we don't want e-waste to go in. People throw it in the garbage. Mm-hmm. It's make sad.
Yeah.
Okay, who wants to talk about our two adoption events? We did some in the beginning with Humane Society, and then we went to a greater need to Pima Animal Care adoption. Talk about the adoption events.
I'll let James do that because I can't do those.
Yeah, I usually make it a point to be at the events. I usually have to leave a little bit early, but, you know, it's a great partnership. You know, Chapman pays all the adoption fees, and so we call them Pick a Pooch Day. So you can come out, you know, and they're all animals looking for forever homes. You know, they all have different backstories. They all have different things that have happened, you know, but they're just looking for love. And so we decided to partner with them. I think our first event wasn't probably the greatest ever, but we had a pretty decent turnout, and that was what inspired us, you know, let's keep trying this, you know, because even if it's just a few dogs every time, at least those few dogs now have a forever home. And it has grown. You know, I mean, with every event that we've done, I feel like, you know, it gets further and further. More people hear about it. More people are aware of what we're doing. You know, and it takes a lot of stress off of the animal shelters. You know, they're at max capacity most of the time. And so, you know, that little bit of money coming in from the adoptions and those few opened spaces do make a difference. You know, I mean, big picture-wise, it doesn't feel like we're scratching the surface, but it does make a difference for every individual animal and every individual family that we've impacted by doing that.
And there have been as many as 18 dogs. Excuse me, there's no
Bless
sneezing
you.
On Mrs. Greensboro. But we've had as many as 18 dogs. And one of the things that I want to observe as kind of the other partner in this is that it's really fun.
It really is.
The Chapman Community Green Team shows up on their days off.
Mm-hmm.
Chapman provides the food. We have a blast. Let's
we
be
really
honest.
Do.
We do videos. And then the other thing I think is most noteworthy is, do you know how many dogs? We should be tracking this. How many have gone home to Chapman employees?
If I had to guess at a number, I would say that we're probably 50 to 60 dogs with all of our adoption events.
And you see that, you know, somebody will be working and they're texting their spouse or their boyfriend or their mom and saying, can you come over? I found a dog.
I was guilty of that. Not the latest one, but the one before that, I adopted my third fur baby. So
yeah, and Johnny and April, they got twins, or not twins, they just looked like twins, inseparable.
Yeah, but that they bonded while they were strays.
And then Dominique got the 10.5-year-old dog, you know.
It's pretty wonderful to watch, and the community participates. There's a lot of social media around it, and usually, like the last time, it was starting at 10, and people started showing up at 10 after 9. I know better now. I get there by 9 o'clock, and I walked in and I said, are you here for a car or a dog? Mm-hmm. And if they say both, I'm really happy.
You can't walk into a car dealership. You know, there's a stigma that goes with a car dealership. There's a lot of fear, you know, behind walking into a dealership that it's going to be a very high stress situation, which we try to stay away from. But I feel like you can't walk in and see a whole, you know, group of dogs there that are just begging for love and not have a smile on your face. You know what I mean? Like, it just, it definitely pulls at my heart. I'm an animal lover, and that's probably why I have to leave the events early, because the ones that don't get adopted, I kind of fall apart
about.
We
all do. We all should, like, get another volunteer to come in and leave, do the closing. We'll do the beginning, because, I mean, we had tears in our ears. And then Rose goes and calls them the next day because she was sad that she didn't get that dog.
Yeah.
And it got adopted anyway.
Right.
Okay, the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona.
Mm-hmm. That's another one that we've done a few times. And we actually, to try and up the ante a little bit, if you will, we try to do a competition between all the stores to see who can weight-wise bring in the most food, you know. I believe the last time we did it, Volkswagen won. But
that would be the last two times.
Oh, I'm sorry, the last two times.
There's no competition among these dealerships. They love
clearly
all
Lisa
of God's children. Clearly, it's very competitive in that world.
And but it's all out of love.
But
and
it
we,
is again. Go
and
ahead.
We don't do it. You know, where we try not to do it around the holidays, because that's when they are getting a lot of their. We try to do it in the time where they need the most.
Where they're kind of forgotten.
People are hungry other times than Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Exactly.
So that's another really good point you raise. And then I really want to go into a little depth about the long-term partnerships that you commit to. But our first international project was so impressive. It came from looking at a movie as a team, voluntary, mm-hmm. Poverty Inc., Movies That Matter, changing our mindset about how to get people out of poverty to end it. So do you want to talk a little bit about the Apparent Project?
And it's kind of weird. It's kind of funny because it wasn't even you saw the movie and the rest of us hadn't seen it yet.
I didn't say anything.
You just kind of told us about the program and you asked if anybody would volunteer to approach the Apparent program and project. So Rose absolutely said, I'll do it.
She was on it.
And the stuff, you know, when you think about how they make this jewelry, and then you see the jewelry and you go, there is no way that's how that's made.
Right, right.
And what it's made out of. Because it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, we took it into the business office, and good Lord, some of the ladies were, well, okay, can you come back next week when, you know, I have...
Around payday?
Yeah, I've got to get this for somebody, and I got to get this one for somebody.
It created a buzz.
And Rose Bayless, she's now dripping with Apparent Jewelry, and I think we should say, for our listeners, it's a project in Haiti that was started because a family went there to adopt a child and then found out that 70% of the world's orphans are poverty orphans. And they created
and have living parents.
And have living parents. So they're really trying to do things to make sure the parents don't have to give up their children to orphanages. If your child was hungry and that was the way they got to eat, you'd give them up to the orphanage.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, Rose Horner took it on, and then Rose Bayless bought a bunch of stuff, R2 Roses. I mean, it was definitely another group effort. And we did a show with them, but it was certainly not anything that was a mandate. It was inspirational to watch Rose take it on. And I had a jewelry display here for a couple of days and took it to Phoenix. And you're right, who doesn't like jewelry? It's what was well made. There's such a story to it. So it really had an international impact.
And it wasn't like, you know, the prices were set. It also told you the little story about, you know, who made it, which kind of made it really personal,
It made it touching. You can't put that on without doing it.
Absolutely.
Okay, you had a long-term partnership with the Lymphoma and Leukemia Society, which was amazing. And another thing I like about Chapman is it's good to distribute, you know, share the wealth.
Absolutely.
And so tell us about LLS, what you did, Lise.
Well, that was the project that got me voluntold to come. I'll be honest.
That was her kickoff.
But it was not, you know, we raised... We were challenged by the higher-ups to raise money. basically, we did not ask customers for anything. This was solely
internal
employees only. We did bake sales. We did queso sales. We did barbecues. The first year we did it, we raised
just shy of $19,000.
Yeah. And that was with the donation that Chapman
makes. With
a
match from Chapman, yes.
Right.
But it was absolutely amazing to see the employees. And, you know, people, you don't really know how it affects people until you start talking to them about it. And
absolutely.
We found that there was a couple of people that work there that are in remission. And we didn't even know it.
You know? When Bethany brought her boss, I believe, who came.
Absolutely.
And he was so overcome with emotion after he saw the presentation because, I don't want to miss big pieces here, but when we partner with someone, that partner comes and makes a presentation to the team. And we ask the team to invite partners or other change agents in their department. It's not a mandate from us either. And they came and he left because it was very emotional to them, and they did well with collecting over
they
that
did.
Donorship.
And he decided that if they collected the most money through all the seven dealerships, he was going to dress up in a tutu and do what they called the pie in the face contest, where you actually paid some money and you got to throw a pie in your manager's face.
So there's a lot of fun that's making the airwaves here. You know, there's. I knew we were going to run out of time. I should have made this an hour show, but we've raised money for them. We did marches. Again, people showed up, brought family, brought dogs, brought kids. We did marches and got people to pledge for us and had the Light the Night campaign. And it's to find research to end cancer. It's a very powerful organization. And then there was a decision on the team that you wanted more hands-on. Is that correct?
Correct.
So
we wanted something a little more local.
Local and hands-on.
Right.
That we can see what's happening.
So thus, the Children's Clinic is now your new project. So tell me about some of the things you've done with them and what the plans are.
The first thing that really kind of kicked it off for us, they have a Halloween bash for all of their patients every year. And so they do, the staff usually puts it all together. They provide all the candy and all of the stuff for them. And so we decided as a team that we wanted to do the candy drive for them. And so I think all in all, it was like 94 bags of candy that we got. And then the cases of paper, we had a paper box that was full of non-food items, for the patients that couldn't have the candy and couldn't have those things. And when we took it over, they were so overwhelmed. It was such a great feeling. We literally filled their conference room table with bags of candy for them to hand out. And the lady that we work with there, Gemma, she was telling us, that they didn't think they were going to have to buy any candy, that they weren't going to have to go out and do anything, that we had completely taken care of it. And so that was our first real experience seeing, okay, they're just up the street. We can jump in our car and come and see what they need and see what we can do for them and see the direct impact, that we can have. And so I think that's what really prompted the partnership.
I want to really get the message to the audience about how this process works. We went to the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
These are very, very low income.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the poorest of children in our community.
Yep.
They have multiple disabilities. So it's very lots of handicaps, multiple handicaps. And what the children's clinics do, like for Halloween, for example, they create a Halloween trick-or-treat day within the clinic so that these kids who are in really not just like push your wheelchair, big, lots of body function.
Yeah.
Yes, big, big, big deal. And so they create that. Now, we have literally 1 minute left. And yeah, right.
And
so here's what I am doing to tell everyone. There will be very soon this part two, because there are really things that are so important that you've done. We didn't even get to Trees for Tucson, which directly impacts climate change. I want you to go in depth about that. 1,000 trees, we're up to 1,200, 1,300 trees, really impacts that. It's ongoing. Our partnership with Changemaker, the awards that we've gotten, the Week of Sharing. So I kind of knew this would happen. I'll take ownership that we have so much to do. How could we not cover it? So, James and Lisa, I'm proud to call you my friends. I'm proud to be a part of this team. And I'm really proud of the difference you're making for children and families in our community and for the planet. Make it a great green day, everybody. And thanks for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. Share this show.